Good afternoon. Many of us have heard it said that the Bible is God's instruction manual for mankind. And yet, for some reason, many don't really want to open it up and see what it says. It's something like putting that new grass grill together and then looking at the instruction manual if you have a problem. Why is it that people really don't want to see what God has to say about a matter? Well, we probably all know the answer to that. But if someone does read or hear what he says, why do they think it doesn't apply to them or no longer applies today? According to our booklet, You Can Have Living Faith, today the popular approach is to accept and validate all opinions, no matter what they are. Unless they're God's opinions, of course. If we're not careful, our attitude, picked up from the world around us, can also include the fact that all people are entitled to their opinion. All people have the right to share that opinion with others. No one has to demonstrate or prove that their opinion should be listened to. And they have the right to expect us to accept their opinion as valid and worthwhile just because they voiced it. With this approach of accepting and validating any opinions but God's, we give equal credibility to anyone and everyone. Basically, it doesn't matter if someone's a rocket scientist or a street cleaner. If that person has an opinion, that's fine. Even if it's an area that that person knows nothing about, or maybe they think they know everything, but we know better than that. Can that be our thinking? Do we see a possible problem if it is? If popular opinion or the opinions of any and all people are our guide, we're going to end up in deep trouble. The majority today do not see any harm in stacking their opinion against the very teachings of Jesus Christ and God the Father. In fact, when Christ says, don't do something, does that stop anybody? If you showed the average man or woman a direct quote from their own Bible telling them not to do something, their answer would probably begin with, yes, but. There's no fear on their part because Christ, they don't believe that Christ meant exactly what he said. No excuses, no exceptions, no yes, but. And that's the problem we can face with accepting anyone's and everyone's opinion. They have no fear that just because maybe their opinion and God's are not in agreement, and worse yet, if they find out that their opinion doesn't match God's, it doesn't bother them. They don't care. Living without considering the fact that God made us has our best interests in mind and has wise plans for us is not wise. Today I'd like to focus on the subject of wisdom. The Bible is absolutely loaded with the wisdom we need to be using and having to live happy lives now and to help us reach the kingdom of God. The result of this world's wisdom, while it might seem good temporarily, can often lead to bad results. It's dangerous to use this world's wisdom without coupling it with the wisdom of God. The wisdom we find in the world is temporary. In 1 Corinthians 1:19, God tells us, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. God doesn't need our wisdom, but we sure need God's. Let's look at James 3. James 3, verses 13 to 17. Are there any of you who are wise and understanding? You are to prove it by your good life, by your good deeds, performed with humility and wisdom. But if in your heart you are jealous, bitter, and selfish, don't sin against the truth by boasting of your wisdom. Verse 15, such wisdom does not come down from heaven. It belongs to the world. It is unspiritual and demonic. Where there is jealousy and selfishness, there is also disorder and every kind of evil. But the wisdom from above is pure, first of all. It is also peaceful, gentle, and friendly. It is full of compassion and produces a harvest of good deeds. It is free from prejudice and hypocrisy. God's wisdom is based on His spiritual law. It considers the ultimate effect on everyone concerned. Some of the rewards of wisdom are found in Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, starting in verse 1. My child, learn what I teach you, and never forget what I tell you to do. Listen to what is wise and try to understand it. Yes, beg for knowledge, plead for insight. Look for it as hard as you would for silver or some hidden treasure. If you do, you will know what it means to fear the Lord, and you will succeed in learning about God. It is the Lord who gives wisdom. From Him come knowledge and understanding. He provides help and protection for those who are righteous and honest. He protects those who treat others fairly and guards those who are devoted to Him. If you listen to me, you will know what you should do. You will become wise. Your knowledge will give you pleasure. Your insight and understanding will protect you and prevent you from doing the wrong thing. They will keep you away from people who stir up trouble by what they say. Basically, wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge to a question or problem and then come up with the right solution or decision. Exactly what people that ignore God's instructions are not doing. Knowledge includes facts, information, and ideas. Wisdom is the ability to judge and apply that knowledge in a right manner. It includes understanding, discernment, common sense, judgment, and insight. Wisdom is not the same as knowledge. We all know people that have facts and figures at their fingertips, but they still sometimes have trouble connecting the dots as to what they really mean. It's not enough to be able to quote whole parts of the Bible if that knowledge doesn't help you make right decisions or draw right conclusions about using that knowledge. Two examples of the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing that a particular road you need to travel will take you through an area where there's no gas stations for 100 miles. Wisdom is making sure you have a full tank before you start. Another example, knowledge is knowing that tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad. Wisdom is not something we inherit or just come by. Yet it's a quality we need to keep increasing in our lives as the challenges we face every day become more complex. Fortunately for us, wisdom is something that we can obtain. Even Jesus Himself said, I can of myself do nothing. That's John 5, verse 30. He had to receive wisdom and guidance from God. We are even more likely to make a mistake if we don't ask God for wisdom and guidance every day. Paul said that many Christians have wisdom when first. Paul said that not many Christians had wisdom when they were first converted. I'd like to read this from the Good News Translation, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. Now remember what you were, my friends, when God called you. from the human point of view, few of you are wise or powerful or of high social standing. Thinking about that verse, if we're honest, many of us would agree we weren't powerful and didn't have high social standing. But how many of us are willing to admit that we weren't wise? In other words, do we sometimes think that we're one of the few that was wise when God called us? Verse 27, 1 Corinthians 1:27. God purposely chose what the world considers nonsense in order to shame the wise. According to the New King James Study Bible, wise here refers to the Greek philosophers, but it certainly could apply to anyone who considers themselves above the rest of us intellectually. Continuing, and he chose what the world considers weak in order to shame the powerful. In verse 28, he chose what the world looks down on and despises and thinks is nothing in order to destroy what the world thinks is important. This means that no one can boast in God's presence. The bottom line is that God uses what is considered foolish and despised in this world to reveal his proof, so that he alone will receive the glory. Verse 30. But God has brought you into union with Christ Jesus, and God has made Christ to be our wisdom. By him we are put right with God. We become God's holy people and are set free. So then, as the scripture says, whoever wants to boast must boast of what the Lord has done. If we think we are wise, we may be deceived. Even if we do have a degree of wisdom, none of us has as much wisdom as we should have. Proverbs 3, verse 7 warns us against thinking that we're wise. It says, never let yourself think that you are wiser than you are. Unfortunately, that can be hard for us to do. Most of us don't know what we don't know, but all too often we make decisions as if we knew everything. In Proverbs 26, verse 12 states, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. One of the earliest reflections about wisdom is found in the book of Job. In chapter 28, he expresses his thoughts on wisdom. Job 28, starting in verse 12. But where can wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Verse 13, man does not know its value. Job 28, verse 15, it cannot be purchased for gold, nor can silver be weighed for its price. 17, neither gold nor crystal can equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewelry or fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or quartz, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. From where then does wisdom come? Verse 23, God understands its way and he knows its place. Verse 27, then he saw wisdom and declared it. He prepared it. Indeed, he searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and depart from evil is understanding. Do those words sound familiar? Well, they should, of course. We can read these words in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. In In Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. The place to begin to acquire wisdom is to fear God, meaning to fear to disobey God and His right way of life. I mentioned in my last sermon that we have a great future awaiting us as kings and priests when we either come up in the first resurrection or are changed to spirit when Christ returns. We don't want to miss out on that by disobeying or failing to continue on the path that leads us toward eternal life. The beginning of wisdom is when you realize that the best you can do is to live by the rules that God has given us, because they will keep us on the path toward eternal life. Much of the Bible is about wisdom and how to acquire it. The fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, is one of the main themes of the book of Proverbs. Having this fear to lose out on His promise if we behave foolishly, that's the beginning of wisdom. Many other verses in Proverbs reference the fear of the Lord and how those who are wise make sure to follow God's instructions and avoid ignoring the advice that He gives us. The Proverbs often contrast two different paths of life, and we know which one we're supposed to stay on. Learning to fear God and depart from evil, we have to study scriptures to learn what to do. As we learn, we should learn to fear disobeying what we have learned. In Proverbs chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And chapter 4, verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. There are different types of wisdom. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. These things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Paul was pointing out that the wisdom he was using in his teaching came from the Holy Spirit, not from any man. Man's wisdom is the wisdom of this age, and it's of little use for those that are called of God now, unless we have God's wisdom to go with it. Now let's go to verse 1, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. When I came to you, my friends, to preach the testimony of God, I did not use big words and great learning. For while I was with you, I made up my mind to forget everything except Jesus Christ, and especially His crucifixion. When I came to you, I was weak and trembled all over with fear, and my teaching and message were not delivered with skillful words of human wisdom, but with convincing proof of the power of God's Spirit. Your faith, then, does not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Yet I do proclaim a message of wisdom to those who are spiritually mature, but it is not the wisdom that belongs to this world or to the powers that rule this world. Now let's skip down to verse 13. So then we do not speak in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, as we explain spiritual truths to those who have the Spirit. All of chapter 2 would be good to read, but we want to get from these verses. What we want to get from these verses is that we've been blessed to receive God's Holy Spirit, which allows us to understand His wisdom. In verse 14, whoever does not have the Spirit cannot receive the gifts that come from God's Spirit. Such a person really does not understand them. They seem to be nonsense because their value can only be judged on a spiritual basis. I imagine every one of us has tried to show a family member or a close friend why we believe differently than we did before. We know it's impossible for them to get it if they don't have God's Holy Spirit to help them get it. If we think about it, none of us got it either until God's Spirit began to work with us. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18, we see confirmation of the fact that understanding comes from God and not man's wisdom. Again, I'm using the Good News translation, 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the message about Christ's death on the cross is nonsense to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it is God's power. The Scripture says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and set aside the understanding of the scholars. So then, where does that leave the wise or the scholars or the skillful debaters of the world of this world? God has shown that this world's wisdom is foolishness. Verse 21, for God in His wisdom makes it impossible for people to know Him by means of their own wisdom. Instead, by means of the so-called foolish message we preach, God decided to save those who believe. Jews want miracles for proof, and Greeks look for wisdom. As for us, we proclaim the crucified Christ, a message that is offensive, meaning a stumbling block, to the Jews and nonsense to the Greeks. Verse 24, but for those whom God has called, this message is Christ, who is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For what seems to be God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and what seems to be God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The basis for all godly wisdom is the Word of God, not the work of Erasmus or Darwin or Kant or Stephen Hawking or any other scientist, humanist, or politician that you can name. I could name more, but I'd probably mispronounce them. It's the Word of God that is the basis that we're supposed to use. So if someone's opinion is contradiction to what God says, why would we validate that just because they think their opinion matters? If we think we can decide everything for ourselves, we've fallen for the trick that Satan has pulled on the rest of the world. Satan wants us to believe that every aspect of life is simply a matter of our own personal choice. Satan would like everyone to believe that they can decide for themselves what is right and what is wrong. Satan would love for us to believe those things because it would undermine our fear of God and our respect for His Word. If we think nothing matters beside our feelings and what we think and what we choose to do, we've managed to play into Satan's hands. That means we're no longer relying or looking to God's opinion first and foremost. We need the kind of wisdom that will help us learn to think as God thinks and reject the idea once and for all that we know better than God about anything. Let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 4, verses 5 through 9 in the Good News translation. Proverbs 4, verse 5. Get wisdom and insight. Do not forget or ignore what I say. Do not abandon wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will keep you safe. Getting wisdom is the most important thing you can do. Whatever else you get insight. Love wisdom, and she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will bring you honor. She will be your crowning glory. So how do we get wisdom? Well, how about asking for it? James 1, verse 5 tells us, if any of you lacks wisdom, and just remember that applies to all of us, one degree or another. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Wisdom is one of the spiritual gifts that God gives us. You can verify that yourself by looking at 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 to 10. An example of one to whom God gave wisdom was Daniel. And Daniel absolutely recognized that God was the source of this wisdom. When he explained to Nebuchadnezzar the meaning of the dream that he had, his first words pointed that God was the source of all wisdom. Daniel chapter 2, verse 20. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. In the second half of 21, he gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. I thank you and praise you, O God, my Father. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you. Most importantly, as we read Proverbs 1, verse 7, to have wisdom, you must fear, meaning to hold in awe and respect the Word of God. Well, we're probably not going to have the opportunity to interpret a dream for any of the rulers of this world. We all need wisdom in many ways. We can't begin to have good relationships without wisdom. We need wisdom with dealing with teachers and administrators at school. We need wisdom when we deal with those we work with and those we work for. How many times have we caused problems in our relationships with other people or on the job because we didn't use wisdom? We can't know what's going on in someone else's mind or all the factors that make up a situation. But God does, and God can give us the wisdom to respond wisely and stay out of trouble. Having wisdom will protect us and the church as a whole. The time will come when we will have to live by the admonition we read in Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. How will we answer some of the questions that we may hear? We can't always just blurt out what pops into our head. We need wisdom and tact and love for the one who's asking the question. We need to put our minds in gear before we open our mouths. We can't be too hasty to respond. I assume we've all heard the saying, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open one's mouth and remove all doubt. If we don't really know what to do or say, we shouldn't say anything until we've had time to think about it. If we don't know what to do in a particular situation, seek counsel. Proverbs 24, verse 6 reminds us, in a multitude of counselors there's safety. Of course, we want to make sure we use the right counselors. You don't want an over-opinionated person, the kind that doesn't necessarily have all the facts, but has formed an opinion and will stick to it regardless. You certainly don't want to get advice from someone that's not obeying God. You want to seek counsel from those who obey God and those who are in the right and submissive attitude toward God and don't think too highly of themselves. When we're involved in making decisions, we want to act in a way that will bring the best results for others, not just ourselves. That's not easy to do. We need to make sure that we consider the consequences of our actions. We've all heard the phrase, unintended consequences. We want to make sure we consider all the facts before we answer a question or make a decision, take action. In other words, we want to make sure that we use God's Holy Spirit to make sure that we do things in a godly manner. Whenever we need to make an important decision, we need to be sure that we understand any scriptures that might relate to the problem. Once again, open up our instruction manual and study it. We need to make sure that we are a person that never stops praying for God to give us wisdom and discernment to make sure that we make the right decisions. As time goes on, there'll be more elements put into the equation to add confusion and mix us up. That's part of the shifting and sorting process of the plan of salvation. The admonition to get wisdom, repeated through Proverbs, covers a multitude of situations and purposes. It's something we desperately need to get through, to be able to get through the upcoming days. We don't just need the kind of wisdom that'll keep us from losing any more money in our retirement plans, or the kind of wisdom that'll help us stretch our dollars, although that kind of wisdom is helpful also. What we really need is the kind of wisdom that'll help us learn to think like God. If God is love, how are we doing at becoming people of love? Do we have compassion for others to the point that we wouldn't say anything that would hurt them? Christ was often put on the spot. How did he avoid trouble? Let's look at a couple examples in Matthew 21, chapter 21. Jesus had been using some parables. Matthew 21, verse 45, it says, "Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. Rather than trying to lay hands on to him, as it says in verse 46, they tried a different approach. Chapter 21, verse 15, we read, "Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk." In other words, they were trying to catch him in the response that he gave to their questions. Verse 16, "And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians." Now, the Herodians were supporters of the Roman government, the opposite of Pharisees. Obviously, their common hatred of Christ made the Pharisees and Herodians join forces in trying to trap Jesus. The question that was posed to him in verse 17, "What do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" According to the New King James Study Bible, the dilemma is obvious. To side with the Pharisees and risk being accused of insurrection against the Roman government, or to side with the Herodians and lose the favor of the masses. The Jews despised paying this tax to their hated oppressors. Verse 18, "But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, 'Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me your tax money.' So they brought him a coin. And he said to them, 'Whose image and inscription is this?' They said to him, 'Caesar's.' And he said to them, 'Render therefore to Caesar all the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' And when they heard those words, they marveled and left him and went their way." Where did Jesus get his wisdom? The only place possible would have been from God. Of course, the Pharisees didn't give up. Let's look at Luke 14. Luke 14, verse 1. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. We would call that edema today, a fluid buildup under the skin. Verse 3. And Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" But they kept silent. So he took him and healed him and let him go. And then he answered them, saying, "Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could not answer him regarding these things. If anyone would have ever been in a position to just tell it like it is, it would have been Christ. But he used wisdom and love for those he knew had not yet had the veil removed from their eyes. Luke 11, verses 53 and 54. Here we're told that the scribes and Pharisees began to assail him vehemently and to cross-examine him about many things. Verse 54. Lying in wait for him and seeking to catch him in something he might say, that they might accuse him. Well, as we know, they finally had to resort to false witnesses to find something to accuse him of. What are we going to do when we become the object of questioning and possibly false accusations? Let's remember what it says in Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 11. "Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." We can be given the wisdom that we need to say just what we need to say and no more. In his final prayer, Jesus left the disciples with some words that are also meant for us today. Let's look at John 16, beginning in verse 12. John 16, verse 12. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, it will guide you into all truth, for it will not speak on its own authority, but whatever it hears, it will speak, and it will tell you things to come." God's Spirit speaks to us through the Word of God and allows us to understand the truth so that our minds can guide us. We don't want to let our emotions motivate us and guide us. We don't want to let our personal opinions get in our way. I've mentioned before something called confirmation bias. For us, it could also be called proof texting, meaning finding those facts and figures that support the conclusion that we want or expect. We ignore any evidence that suggests that our ideas might be a little weak or maybe even absolutely wrong. In the church, we can end up doing this and misuse or misinterpret scriptures to support what we want to believe. That can be a dangerous game, and another clear example of why we need to pray for wisdom. Another reason I haven't mentioned as to why we need wisdom is to be able to understand the events that are unfolding around us. You may have noticed in Jim Tuck's cover note to the Prophetic Times this week, he made reference to Proverbs 22, verse 3 and 27, verse 12, and reminds us that when a wise man sees trouble coming, he prepares himself. We need to know what to do and how to make the right decisions under different and possibly very difficult circumstances. Obviously, we want wisdom and understanding, especially about God's laws, about God and Christ and the Word of God. That's where we start. Remember, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction.